Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about Jesus and the death of death. Wow.
Pretty incredible. What a great week to think about several things for you to contemplate as you search for the kind of hope that will answer every question concerning the mortality of your body. Because, mm-hmm. That's something we're all stuck with. I heard a quote the other day where we're the only species that knows we're going to die
from early on.
Well, as soon as we become aware. And so concerning our mortality of our body and the immortality of our soul, which is clearly laid out in the scriptures, because we want to move beyond Easter to an understanding of Resurrection Day. Because Easter
is kind of. What do you mean by that?
Well, Easter is kind of a cultural, historical, Easter bunnies and eggs and all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff wrapped in there, kind of like Christmas.
Earth Day. Yeah. Earth Day is on the same day.
Yeah, yeah.
Or near.
Coincidentally. Mm-hmm. And, there's more substance to the resurrection of Christ and to so-called Easter when you look at the resurrection, and that's what we want to consider today.
I love that Resurrection Day means so much to me because it didn't when I was younger. And all of a sudden there was an awareness that without the ascension, the death didn't mean anything. And
right.
So all of a sudden, I don't remember when that happened, but it was like suddenly Easter or Resurrection Day really meant something to me. And it has ever since.
This is out of 1 Corinthians 15, and it talks about the fact of the resurrection. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Then he was buried, and then he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, which, by the way, included his own words. And then he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. That doesn't include the cistern and the children that went
right.
with the brethren, because mm-hmm. They usually pointed out the males in the group because of the Jewish background. Most of them remain until now. Now, some of them have fallen asleep, which is the Bible's term for mm-hmm. Dying in Christ. Some have fallen asleep, but many are still alive. So the implication is just go ahead and ask him. Just ask the people.
Right.
Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me as well.
And I think it's interesting that he gives the order of how he appeared, number one. I think that's interesting. But the one that kind of catches me sometimes is then he appeared to James. And what was that like to be the unbelieving little brother, to become the believing
just call
brother?
Him the younger brother.
Well, you know what I mean.
I do.
And then he didn't believe, then he did, and then he wrote the book of James, and it makes you realize, no wonder he was able to write the kind of book that he wrote. He had lived with Jesus, so he understood that living it was what showed that you believed it. You had to watch your tongue. All the things that he talks about in James. He saw Jesus do that every day.
Well, even while you're talking about that, there's a place in the Gospels where his family is outside and Jesus mm-hmm. comments on who my family is. But, they kind of, their family freaked out because they mm-hmm. they heard all the things that were being said about him. Up until he was 30 years old, he was an active part of the family. And then he went into his public ministry and the whole family, that had to be difficult to be a part of Jesus's human family.
Yeah, and this is pure speculation, but you don't hear about Joseph. So you wonder, when did Joseph die? And did Jesus have to take up some of that responsibility of being the oldest brother, sort of fathering the kids? You don't know. That's pure speculation. But there, you wonder if there was some of that sort of taking over the head of the household business before he was 30.
This term in here in 1 Corinthians 15, one untimely born, he mm-hmm. appeared to me also. This gives me a lot of hope because the disciples got to see Jesus. Peter and
yeah.
James and John, just like you were talking about, they actually got to handle it, got to see it, got to see the people that were healed. But Paul kind of was a latecomer, and mm-hmm. that's what he's saying. I was untimely born, but he also appeared to me. And that is one of the amazing, I was talking to somebody who doesn't believe in Christ the other day. We were having this conversation, and I said, don't you think it's kind of phenomenal that Jesus keeps showing up, in people's lives, mm-hmm. in history, in every nation, from every nation under heaven, all these stories. And he keeps showing up through the Holy Spirit. And just like Paul, who was untimely born, the appearance happens. I mean, that's what happened to me.
Right.
You know, he appeared in my life and just swept my heart away.
And I don't want to blow by this. He appeared to 500, more than 500. So you think, what was that like for those people?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Because when you consider not just those people, but you spread them out into a community, that means they're touching a lot of lives.
Well, and, you know, it was kind of, I was thinking about this the other day, it was like a tidal wave because it started out, you know, how those kind of things do with like a seismic event. In fact, there literally was a seismic event when Jesus died. And we'll talk about that in the days coming up. But that wave began to develop. And you think about that, that was a people wave because it started out with the centurion who said, surely this was the Son of God, because he saw the earthquake. He watched what happened when Jesus died.
And then all the people under him who respected him and heard him say that. You know, some rejected it, but you wonder, did some go, oh my goodness, he's affected by this?
Well, and the centurion eventually, you know, they didn't necessarily like being in Jerusalem. They were sent there, and it was like being in active service. He eventually went home, and he and all of his men went home. And so they were able to tell that story. And that's what I'm talking about with a tidal wave.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the tidal wave just started happening with, you know, with the death of Christ. And then as the resurrection came after the burial, it just kind of exploded into the world. So when you talk about the relationships, that's just one set of relationships. Then you have all of the people who were healed by God, were taught by God, and all the families that were involved. And then it happened during Passover. So
everyone was there.
There were people, there were proselytes and Jews from every nation under heaven. In fact, they're listed in the book of Acts.
Hanging about in Jerusalem.
And so that explosion just began. So it continues, and he is trying to explain, this is a little bit later in the chapter, you know, 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. So, you know, if you're trying to move from Easter to the resurrection Sunday or resurrection day, resurrection first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 15 is really helpful. Now, this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed.
You know, I get all the stuff, behold, I tell you a mystery, from there on, where we will not all sleep, the twinkling of an eye. But what's hard to understand is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. That's just hard for me to get, even what it means.
Well, this is so...
That's language I don't speak.
Well, and it's so supernatural, because I was reading in one of the classes I do, we were looking at the passage that talked about the angels that are at the four winds. You know, and how they're going to be gatherers at the end of the age. And basically, you know, if I have been ground to dust and have been in the grave for 100 years or 150 years, I will be, you know, I will be reconstituted, but not more in a soul way than merely a body way. Not that there isn't a physical direct aspect to it, but that's what it's talking about. You know, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven because flesh and blood dies. But that doesn't mean
It's so simple. How did I not see it?
It doesn't mean that we won't we won't be resurrected. Don't be. Paul's the master of the run-on sentence.
Oh gosh, he is. He wears me out. I find myself breezing through those. Like, just tell me what it means.
But so the picture of resurrection is that on that day everyone will be resurrected and will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged based on whether we are covered by the blood of Christ or not covered by his blood. And that happens through believing in Jesus. And it goes on and comments on that whole perishable, imperishable thing. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, so he's repeating himself.
Yeah.
Then will come about that is the saying that is written.
Oh, this is so cool.
Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who conquered death.
Mm-hmm. And it's so simple if you've given your life to that, but it's so impossible for some.
Yeah.
It's just that part is non-understandable.
There are a couple of passages that kind of go with this idea. So that's Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. It's a if you want your Easter experience, your to move into a resurrection mm-hmm. day experience for you and your family, 1 Corinthians 15 can be incredibly helpful. It's also really good in the Message, which is a great translation if you're mm-hmm. going to read it around the table. But in Colossians 2. Basically, Jesus abolishes our inherited sin and our chosen sins and takes them out of the way. They were nailed to the cross.
Yeah, and what an interesting way to say that, to translate those words, because, you know, it was our sin was inherited from Adam, our forefathers, our parents, our own committed sins. It includes it all. He's taken it all.
And then
he absorbs it.
Not only that, like you were just talking about in Ephesians 2, he absorbs the hatred between us and our Creator, the enmity, the strife between us, and it's absorbed in his cross. Pretty cool, really.
Just that word absorb, you know, it's translated that way. And it's so descriptive.
It really is. And then, to top it all off, after mm-hmm. he's done that, through his death, he abolishes our forever death. I mean, you know, because we are forever separated from God, and that, and when it says death has lost its victory and mm-hmm. its sting, that's what he's talking about. The ultimate aspect of our loss of our eternal souls has been taken care of by mm-hmm. the resurrection.
And he gives us eternal life through the death and resurrection of his Son.
I want to leave you with this passage out of Acts 2 as we talk about the death of death. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's kind of the concept that we're discussing today. Acts chapter 2, and this is in Peter, one of Peter's sermons, who, you know, Peter just explodes, you know, after this whole thing happens, the whole
so
Jesus
convinced.
Thing.
He's so convinced.
But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power.
Yeah, not just the agony of dying, the act of dying, how we all kind of dread that, but the agony of death itself.
And now this ultimate agony has been taken away for those of us who have hoped in Christ. And I don't know how you guys feel about the end of your life. Again, like we said at the beginning of this particular segment, that the whole idea that we know that our end is going to come. Most of our lives, we understand that. And that's an agonizing thing when you think mm-hmm. about it, whether it's the unknown or whether it's fear or whether it's emptiness or a lack of hope. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of agony.
Guilt.
Yes. And mm-hmm. it's not just the process of death, but there is an agony.
Mm-hmm. Regret can be agonizing.
Yeah. Well, but there's an agony of dying separate mm-hmm. from God.
Yes.
And being hidden in God.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any true hope apart from the work that Jesus has done on the cross to take away our sin? Answer, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any antidote to the futility and obscurity of our belief of our brief, imperfect human lives upon this earth? And the answer to that, I think, is there is only one antidote, and mm-hmm. that's what Jesus has provided. He certainly has provided more than any other religion has. We think there is, and it is found in the resurrection of the dead. So that's Easter, you know,
mm-hmm.
the bunnies, mm-hmm. you know, the chocolate, the eggs, all that stuff. Okay, fine. But
it's much greater.
Mm-hmm. The core of Easter is this. Hey, forstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forstream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at forthstream.com.
And all this week, we'll be talking about having a meaningful resurrection day. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Take care, Bernadette. Thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.